Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is probably at lunch at his other job, his day job, and can't join us right now. Do you know where he is, by the way, Simon? Or
I thought he was working at Hooters.
Probably, yeah. You know, the Clearwater, it's pretty close. That's where they got started. So it would stand to reason that that's probably where he is.
Understandable though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, as always, this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use promo code 5FIVE. You deposit $100, you get $100. It's a one-time rollover, which is essentially they're giving you $100. Just take it. Now that the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs are going on, it's pretty fun to play these games as you have a little action on them with Prize Picks. Again, use promo code 5FIVE. And of course, betteredge.com. Go to betteredge.com/5reasons and you get $20 just for signing up. That one's actually just free, $20 no matter what. Prize Picks, you actually deposit $100 and then you get $100. So they're both great deals. Take them. All right, Simon. Last week, by the way, I had to ask you about this. I was looking at all of the videos. I didn't think that Miami did such a bad job with their schedule release video. Yeah, you found it a little boring. I kind of dug those movie posters. I thought they were pretty cool.
A bit dry, right?
Really? Who did you like? Who did you like best? Who do you think did the best job with their schedule release?
Titans and Chargers. I mean, Chargers for the second year running. Just so much thought that goes into that manga release that they do was spectacular, and the Titans having those people misidentify team names is hilarious.
Yeah, the Titans. I love it because we may think this is a big deal. There's people out there that could not care a single lick about any of this shit.
The thing is, though, right? You've got it's clearly Super Bowl for social media teams, right? Yeah. You've got two really major TV shows about to finish, so like Succession on HBO and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime. You know, like get in contact with HBO and say, look, we just need Shiv, Kendall, and Roman to do a, you know, we could do a release video using their characters. We could get Mrs. Maisel doing a stand-up, whatever. Just like think a little bit outside the box. The Dolphins and their video. Like it wasn't even the film. Like half the film titles weren't even very funny. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to do films, at least do it like, you know, really nail the films. And they didn't. So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of middle of the pack, unfortunately. Like, I'm not knocking the video team is excellent. All the video stuff is really good, but I think they got outflanked by the Chargers and by the Titans and a few others, certainly. But the Titans and Chargers were playing in the social media Super Bowl for certain.
Yeah, I really like the Titans one. And my favorite one was the woman that just looked at the Jaguars logo and said, they don't even exist.
Exactly. Brilliant. And I love the, you know, little, just the drop in of the old school NFL music and the, yeah. And that's a play on that old guy, isn't it? There's the guy, isn't there, whose son just gets him to just throws him all the helmets and he just has to guess them and he keeps getting them wrong. That's what it's originally from. Yeah. So it's a nod to that as well with the music and stuff. But yeah, very, very funny.
Yeah, and the Chargers one, that Chargers release with Mike McDaniel with the hitting the vape pen.
Yeah, and the kind of the nod to QAnon and things like that. I mean, that's there's loads of stuff in that that people wouldn't even get that, you know, it's just like, wow.
Yeah, it was really subtle. It was one of those things. And that's what makes it great is that it's one of those things that you have to watch three or four times to get all of it, you know, because if not, you're going to miss something.
Yeah, 100%. That is whoever did that, whoever's behind that, is properly smart.
Well, as the only, I believe the only conspiracy theorist on schedules on the podcast, because I don't think Chris prescribes to any of them, and I know you don't, as the resident schedule conspiracy theorist, I think they helped the Dolphins immensely with the schedule. It's almost as if the Dolphins drew the schedule themselves, and I'll explain why. They don't play a single team coming off a bye. They only have to travel far once, and then they have a bye afterwards. And the team that they're playing against also has to travel, which is Kansas City. And they're coming off of a short week. They finished the season with four out of the last five at home. They play the better teams at home. And every single one of their trips, except week one, because that's another thing, they have no West Coast trips. They're basically training all summer leading up to the West Coast trip of the entire season, which is the Chargers. Every other flight is a little puddle jump. It's to New England. It's to Buffalo. It's to Philadelphia. It's to New York. It's to Washington, D.C., and it's to Maryland. They're all tiny little flights, comfortable flights, less than 2 hours, 2 hours and a half. And they have soft spots at home. They have the better teams at home. And again, they finish four out of the last five at home. This is extremely favorable schedule. They got absolutely no excuses as far as the schedule is concerned. Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's some tough games. Look like some tough games on paper. It's quite a tough start going to San Diego, but going to the Chargers, sorry. But, you know, what I find interesting about that is that, you know, that was the kind of the second week of, was it the second week or the first week of Tua's kind of real big collapse on that West Coast swing last year. I can't remember where that happened. It happened after the 49ers game, didn't it? So that you know, and you kind of get the idea that Brandon Staley would have seen a lot of Tua tape to that point. It was week 10, a week 11, a week 12, something like that. And, you know, this time Mike will have been in the, Coach McDaniel will have been in the lab, and, you know, they're not going to have seen a lot of the stuff that's going to come out of, coming out of the laboratory for week one. So I think that's a plus. Jalen Ramsey, obviously going back to his home stadium week one is a plus. It's not like it's, you know, SoFi is a great stadium, but it's not like it's mega loud in terms of that home crowd isn't mega loud. Do you know what I mean? It's not a, it's not a huge Chargers support. I think there'll be a lot of Dolphins fans. You know, it's not like you go to Arrowhead week one. Do you know what I mean? Or to Denver or to Seattle week one, you know, where you know, the crowd is going to be extremely loud. So I think that was,
yeah, we spoke about that on OnlyFans. That's $3 a month. I did a, like a mini show on our vetted stage with, Bisebo, you know who he is.
Yeah, Blake. Yeah,
and Blake, and he was telling us that the Chargers essentially don't really have an audience. Like nobody really cares. That's a Rams town, so it's entirely possible that for opening week, you're gonna have a lot of Dolphin fans gonna be traveling out there to fill up most of that stadium. It should be pretty even Steven kind of crowd, I think.
Yeah. For week one. They got an absolute break with the Chiefs game being abroad. I think you don't want to go to Arrowhead, you know, in there. That's a, you know, that, especially with Tyreek, and, you know, that would be a big old atmosphere. So to get that essentially a neutral venue is great. Obviously, Philly will be a tough game. And then the toughest stretch really is that you know, you're going to play Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen, the final four games. That's, you know, I said it on Twitter, but that's, you know, you need your big boy pants for those games. That's really, you know, do or die when it comes to the playoffs at that point. You know, you're going to have to go at least 2-2 during that stretch. 3 at home, obviously, which is great. A little bit of an elimination of the weather factor. I mean, you know, it's not like it's going to be.
That's another thing. They play one. That game should be miserable. December 31st in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Like that should be horrific. But it's bad for their offense too. And they have a lot of pass receivers now. So, you know, it's kind of even. Like, this is kind of favorable schedule. I really do believe that. When I didn't think it was last year.
It's tough that you don't have any division rivals at home in the in the weather. You know, the first division rival at home is really end of October, start of November. You don't have anybody in September who's going to come in and sit on that swirling hot sideline and, you know, just kind of melt. Do you know what I mean? That's the one thing in terms of divisional games. So the sun factor doesn't really play into it. Obviously, it plays into it with road team, with non-AFC East teams.
Panthers. I think the Hard Rock Sun has something waiting for the Buffalo Bills October 1st.
Except that game,
it could be like, miserable down here October 1st.
That game's in Buffalo, though, isn't it? The Bills game at home is January.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We play, that's another thing. We play Buffalo at the end. Okay, all right. So we're going to, well, that's another thing that kind of helps us. There's no bad weather in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good really, weather October 1st.
Apart from that Ravens game, we don't really play, you know, a conventional bad weather game. You know, and then what, week one dome, week two outdoors, week three outdoors, week four outdoors, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, only one dome all season, only one game indoors all season. And really only one bad weather game, which could be which is New Year's Eve against the Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the, you know, and if you look at the teams, if you're gonna start looking at the teams, you know, the East is what it is. You know, you get a lot of those marquee games also at home, like the Dallas game. That's going to be a lot of fun. December 24th. I think that's going to be one of the highest rated games of the entire season.
Yeah, that'll be a big game.
They're up against, I believe, a terrible game. Blake told me the game that was opposite of them, and he was saying that Dolphins, Cowboys should get something like 96% coverage nationwide. So, yeah, that should be a huge game.
I mean, the interesting thing about the Jets is, I mean, the Jets have got an absolutely brutal schedule because they start against the Bills, never easy. Then they've got the Cowboys on the road. They're at home to the Patriots, who obviously aren't as good as they have been, but Bill hates the Jets. Then they've got the Chiefs. Then they've got the Broncos on the road. Then they've got the Eagles. Then it's the new Battle of New York with the Giants. And then it's the Chargers. So, you know, and then they've got to get out east. They've got to go west coast to the Raiders and then back east to play Buffalo. So it's a pretty hard, you know, they have a kind of a 3rd of December against the Falcons, 10th of December against the Texans, then they play us, then they play Washington on New Year's I mean, their run in is pretty, they've got a pretty good run in because they've got us twice, the Falcons, the Jets, the Commanders, the Browns and the Patriots. So it's not a bad second half of the season for the Jets, but early on they could be in big trouble if they don't come out the gate firing.
Yeah, and of course the New York media is going to make, you know, if they start like 1-3, they're going to make it feel as if it's 1-13, you know? Yeah, I guess if there's any complaints is that they only have one primetime game, I guess, at home, which is the Monday night game against the Titans.
Yeah, that's a shame.
That's a shame. They do have one really rough spot. Sunday night football in Philadelphia is a rough spot for any team in this league.
That's
a bonus. Like that game is almost a bonus. You win that one. Okay. Now that brings in 12 wins into the conversation, 13 wins, you know, like that's supposed to be a scheduled loss. Going to New England early in the season is a good thing. I guess if the Broncos are good, they have to come east in the heat. But yeah, I think it's a pretty favorable schedule and I'm not going to do that, you know, win loss thing that everybody else is doing, but this, you know, this schedule is pretty favorable as far as travel and how they get everybody. It's the first time I actually looked this up. It's the first time since the revolving bye weeks. And that means before they used to just give everybody in the AFC East the same bye week. And then they started changing it for at least one team. Since then, it's the first time that a team will play everybody on their schedule that does not come off of a bye week. So that is also a great thing. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to bitch about the offensive line, which is kind of like a pastime on this podcast. But first, these words. Do you have a water leak and can't find where it's coming from? Are you dealing with water or mold damage in your home or business? Then call Water Cleanup of Florida at 954-579-0356. For immediate assistance. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and their team is prepared to handle all types of leak detection issues, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. After the leak has been located and repaired, Water Cleanup of Florida will then clean, dry, and fully restore the damaged areas. Water Cleanup of Florida is fully licensed, insured, and certified to provide the one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There is no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle the entire project from start to finish. Service areas include Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. Simon, they signed 2 offensive linemen. And I'm going to say offensive linemen because we don't know where one of them is going to play. Let's take this one first. Isaiah Wynn signs, and immediately everybody's out there like, oh, there's the competition, Frost and Jackson. Well, if that's what they had in mind as far as competition, Frost and Jackson, I don't think it's much. It's the same guy. It's essentially the same guy. I said, look, they got rid of Brandon Shell and Greg Little, and they decided, who can we find out there that's pretty much precisely the same as those two guys? And they went out and got them. Your thoughts on Isaiah Wynn? Where does he fit here?
Yeah, look, I think there's been some very interesting stuff that's been said over the last 48, 72 hours since it was announced that he was signing. And there's been a very weird reaction by some fans, kind of Dolphin truthers or offensive line truthers or Isaiah Wynn truthers or whatever you want to call it, really. You know, who all of a sudden feel, you know, you think we'd signed like Anthony Munoz, you know, to play on the right side. It's a very, very strange thing. And, you know, you've got all sorts of people. Like I had one guy on Twitter today say to me, well, you know, he wasn't very good because of the disaster and with the coaching in New England, which is a reasonable point that you could allude to in 2022, certainly. But then the flip side was that he said, well, Bill Belichick is the best head coach of all time. And if he signed him to a fifth year deal on his contract, then he must know what he's talking about because he's the best of all time. It's like, we can't have it both ways. You can't criticize the coaching to make your narrative on one point and then flip it to say, oh, well, actually the head coaching is great because they decided to pick up his, like, I don't really understand it. I don't really get the whole thing. Look, Isaiah Wynn, I really loved coming out of Georgia. I thought he was a really good player. I thought it was a really kind of excellent pick for the Patriots in 2018. I thought he was really good in his pre-draft stuff. He obviously tore his Achilles, missed the year. I thought he was really good in 2019, being coached by arguably certainly the best offensive line coach of a generation, along with Bill Callahan in Dante Scarnecchia. And then since that point, he's really fallen off a cliff, and it's been injuries, it's been inconsistency, it's been laziness, it's been lackadaisical effort, it's been work ethic off the field, it's been some issues with coaching and the way he's been coached, it's been weight issues. But people want to say, I mean, I had some guy last night after he called me a red coat and told me to back out of the conversation because I knew nothing about American football, which is niche, and I've never heard that one before. He then said to me that that Wynn had had three really good seasons, which I was struggling because obviously I've watched a lot of his tape and he hasn't had three really good seasons. But what I will say is this, look, he's athletic. If somebody can get him into some sort of physical shape, if they can get him into mental shape, he certainly has the athletic profile to be a standout. I've watched subsequent to him signing a lot of his tape. It is riddled with inconsistencies. Where he stands out is as a run blocker. He can be a dominant run blocker at the point of attack, actually. And he's still athletic enough despite the injuries. The problem I have is that, A, he's injury prone. Okay, you know, and even when he's healthy, he's not actually that healthy. That's an issue. Two, there are times when he can look cumbersome, he can look leaden footed, he can look like he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, people highlight the play against Indianapolis where he gets absolutely spun around and then makes the tackle on Ramondre Stevenson himself because he's so bad. There are other examples of that littered throughout his film. Now, would I feel comfortable with Isaiah Wynn playing left tackle? Yes, I would feel more comfortable with Isaiah Wynn playing left tackle than I would say Jerron Christian or you or Dolly Parton. Would I feel more comfortable if the Dolphins hadn't historically managed to fuck the position around so badly that they're now in this situation anyway? And it doesn't matter who's at quarterback, frankly. You're not putting five men out on the offensive line to try and make sure that your quarterback is hurt. But the Dolphins are in a really, really tenuous situation, which is that their quarterback is notoriously injury prone and coming off an off-season in which he decided that he needed some time to think about whether or not he was going to quit the game because of the injuries and the long-term effect on his future, okay, on his future health. And this is the situation that Miami finds itself in. They completely ignored the first wave of free agency. They completely ignored the offensive line of the draft. They completely ignored restrictive free agency. And now they're booting around some of the trash cans, hoping to find, you know, a nugget of bone marrow that they can, you know, they can feed themselves on for the next, you know, for the next season. Is that going to happen? I don't know. Is Isaiah Wynn the answer? I don't know. I mean, if he's the answer, I don't know what the question is based on the film over the last 2 years. People are saying, oh, well, maybe he gets moved to left guard. He's played left guard a couple of times for the Patriots, and it wasn't a good look. He didn't particularly play very well at right tackle. His best tape has been at left tackle. Obviously, we have a great left tackle, but he is injury prone. So if Wynn plays at left tackle, then, you know, maybe what you see is a guy that can, you know, who's moved back to his natural position, and he, you know, he does a really good job. Now, should he play right tackle? I think he'll be the... You know, I think there'll be a definite competition there, and maybe iron sharpens iron, and that, you know, Wynn helps make Jackson better and vice versa. But it's like I said, Noni Finns last night, the Dolphins have got a three-wheeled car at the moment. And instead of going out and buying a fourth wheel to make the car steady, all they're doing is just keep buying gear sticks, and they've bought another gear stick. And I tell you what, let's get a gear stick. Oh, we haven't had
and
a gear
air freshener.
Yeah, exactly. Or let's buy an air freshener or a petrol cap or, you know, whatever. They ignore the tire. So that's a concern for me. And really, it's not necessarily criticism of Isaiah Wynn or Cedric Ogbue or anybody else who could come in. It's more a criticism of the long-term terrible planning that has gone around on the offensive line, you know. And that's a historic thing. And that is... not Mike McDaniel's fault. That is Chris Greer's fault. And people saying, oh, McDaniel's got to take some blame for this. And, you know, I'm sorry, but Anthony Munoz isn't walking in through the door right now. And I understand that Dolphins fans want to be positive because this is the most positive we've felt in 20 years. And that's great. But I think a sense of realism, a sense of people actually going and watching the film and having an understanding of what they're looking at. And you know, just throwing things around like, oh, well, it was a different scheme last year and he was brilliant in 2021. No, but he wasn't. Okay. He wasn't. There are certainly excellent pieces of play on tape. Okay. I will absolutely concede that, as there are with anybody. Kendall Lamb, I thought, put together 14 excellent snaps against New England before he got hurt. But there is also the sorts of things that will get your quarterback out of the game forever. You know, that's not an idle threat either, Alf. You know it's not. Chris knows it's not. And I think a lot of listeners know it's not, you know. And yes, it could happen to anybody. It could happen to Trevor Lawrence, to Aaron Rodgers, to Lamar Jackson, to Bryce Young, God forbid it doesn't happen to any of them, but, you know, there is something just a little bit more susceptible about our guy than there is about everybody else's because of the history. You know, he's not been healthy since his freshman year at Alabama. So, you know, I hope Isaiah Wynn comes in, and I certainly think he'll look good in shorts because he's a big athletic player. He's still only 27. It's a cheap enough contract. Was it 2.3 million, 2.7 maxed out? And I think he'll be absolute competition to start at right tackle. And look, maybe what happens is that, you know, he dominates, plays at right tackle, and they look to start a competition at left guard between Dan Feeney, Austin Jackson, and Liam Eikenberg, with the idea that, you know what, if you put Austin Jackson in between Connor Williams and Teron Armstead, then maybe you might have something there. But it's just, you know, it's as much an irritation of history as it is of, you know, what they've done with these two players.
I'll tell you how I'll feel a lot better about this, and that's if Isaiah Wynn is just the insurance policy for Teron Armstead. And there's two ways you could go about that. One way you could go about, you know, getting good insurance for Teron Armstead missing games is just go out and get Jason Peters and just tell him, look, you're not going to play anywhere else. We're not going to do what we did, what the Cowboys did with you last year, playing you all over the offensive line, plugging holes. You are Teron Armstead. Essentially, you're his valet. When he's out, you're playing. And you're playing the position that you're going to go into the Hall of Fame as a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think you'll be amenable to something like that. Like, you would agree, right? Like, you offer Jason Peters a contract just to play left tackle. I think he'll take it. Even at this late stage of his career, you agree with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, in the limited snaps he had last year at left tackle, left guard, right tackle, I thought Peters was excellent. Again, I mean, he's a first ballot walk-in Hall of Famer anyway, but, you know, and obviously he slipped. He's 41 years old, but he's still better than a significant amount of players in the NFL, and certainly players that the Dolphins have rostered.
Yeah. Now, they met with Cam Fleming before. They met with George Fant as well, but mostly with Cam Fleming, who got a run of the place, kind of looked like that meant a little bit more than what happened with George Fant. Cam Fleming, they will have money June 1st. If they sign Cam Fleming on June 1st, then that's an obvious signal that Austin Jackson is probably on the way out at right tackle, because I really don't believe that he could beat out a guy like Cam Fleming, who's had good tape and has started for several teams and had pretty good runs with several teams. Cowboys, and now as of late, the Broncos. If they do that, then you can start making an argument like, man, okay, now I'm starting to see a little bit of the vision. Like, you're not going to spend money all across the board because, you know, we're expensive in the secondary. We're going to be really expensive on the defensive line. We're already expensive at wide receiver. So, you know, you can't spend too much money elsewhere. Do you think that maybe the best case scenario is that they go out and they get somebody like Cam Fleming, and then Isaiah Wynn gets a run at left guard?
I'm more than happy if their plan is to bring in fairly cheap veteran minimums guys on 1 year deals to make the bottom of the offensive line roster better. Yeah, experienced guys who can, with a bit of position versatility, and whether that's Feeney or Wynn or Fleming or Ogbue, who I don't think makes the team, but yeah, let's throw his name in there as well. I would much rather that than let's go into a playoff game with the Buffalo Bills with Lester Cotton, Jerron Christian, you know, guys of that ilk. Okay.
And moving Robert Hunt for the first time to right tackle.
I don't think that's a bad thing that we do that. And if that's the plan, then whilst I don't love it, I can get behind it a lot more than just thinking that these two signings are the answer. You know, and look, we're a long way away from the season. It's what, May the 17th, May, June, July, August. I mean, we're 3.5 months out from taking a meaningful snap. So we'll see what happens. But it just feels to me a little bit like, you know, it feels to me like they were clearly hyped in on Cam Smith, but there were opportunities to do something where you could move Connor Williams back to his more natural left guard position. You could draft John Michael Schmitz, for example. And there you have that situation sorted out. You know, there's left guard, center, left tackle, absolutely sorted. Okay, you got Rob Hunt. Now I know they're reticent to move Rob Hunt to right tackle, and I completely understand that. But You know, there are certain situations, scenarios where you could have moved Rob Hunt to left to right tackle if you were so concerned about that side of things. Now, clearly they believe in Austin Jackson. I don't think necessarily that this is a moratorium, these two signings, on Austin Jackson, because I do believe they think that he has got talent, that he's still a young kid, he's still a baby, he's still growing physically, mentally. He's got enough, you know, athletic ability to be able to become an okay, you know, swing tackle in this league, swing backup. But, you know, Chris Greer sitting in the post-draft press conference and saying, look, you guys are way more worried about the offensive line than we are, I think is pretty instructive as to how they're thinking. Now, like I said, if they're churning the bottom of the barrel and just making the backups better, then I don't have an issue with that. But my concern is what happens. You've got to keep this kid healthy. You've got to keep him healthy. And if they can't keep him healthy, that will cost Chris Greer his job. If he gets knocked out because Isaiah Wynn or Ogbuehe or whoever just turns inside when they're supposed to block outside, some rusher gets a free run on tour, he gets concussed and he says, you know what? And his parents say, you know what? We just can't do this anymore. We can't do this anymore. This is now 3/4 concussions in 12 months. We can't do it. You know, I'm 25 years old and I've got a son and I want a life. That falls on Chris Greer. I'm sorry, it does. You know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles, unfortunately, because this line has historically been ignored, really. So, you know, it's not just a case of protect the quarterback. There is a caveat to the protection of the quarterback, which is that, you know, we know what it is. We've got to keep the kid healthy because he can deliver if he's healthy. But if he's not on the field, you know, we don't want to see Mike White or Skylar Thompson starting in a playoff game. And quite frankly, we wouldn't get into the playoffs if either of those had to play for a significant part of the season anyway. So, and even if we brought Tom Brady in, he's got, you know, he's 82 years old. He's got to be kept upright as well. So, yeah. You know, it's very interesting. And I look at what championship teams do. You look at what Brett Veach did 2-3 years ago with the Browns. You know, he completely replaced the entire offensive line, got rid of Eric Fisher, got rid of, you know, did the whole thing. They drafted Creed Humphrey. They drafted Lucas Niang. They signed Orlando Brown. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They afforded themselves
more opportunities, even with Lucas Niang kind of busting because we don't know what he's going to be.
They signed Joe Tooney.
They gave themselves a little bit of redundancy.
The Dolphins had an opportunity to sign Shaq Mason for a 7th-round draft pick, you know. They could have easily gone Teron Armstead, moved Connor Williams to left guard, drafted a center, played Shaq Mason at left guard, at right guard, and kicked Rob Hunt to right tackle. I mean, you can't tell me that an offensive line that goes Armstead, Williams, Schmitz, or Tippmann, for example. Schmitz, let's just say Schmitz. So Armstead, Williams, Tippmann, Mason, Hunt is not a significant upgrade. And a, you know, ordering on a good to very good offensive line. You can't tell me that's not the case because that's just not true.
Yeah. Now, I do know for a fact that they, and remember, they have, this is not just Chris Greer. This is several guys that have their hands in the stew here. Okay. And they do like Robert Jones. But if they are going to go explore the guard market, like, I don't know if you've taken a look at it as of late, but I have a very simple list here. All of these guys are upgrades over what they have behind those guards right now. Justin Pugh, Roger Saffold, Billy Price. I actually like Billy Price because his versatility to play center as well. Trey Turner, Dalton Reisner. Anything you like there? Because I like them all. if we compare them to what we have right now inside, I kind of like them all.
Yeah, Saffold alike. I think Pugh's been a bit of a bust. I get the position versatility thing. I haven't seen Justin Pugh in a while. I actually thought he'd retired. And Risner, I thought, had played really well early and then a bit like Isaiah Wynn, really just fell off a cliff. Again, if they're churning the bottom of the roster and they're looking at vet minimum guys to come in and make a difference. But, you know, I know they like Robert Jones, like you said. You made that clear on OnlyFans the other day. That's good because I think there's something there. I saw Brandon Jones on Instagram the other day doing a series of Robert Jones appreciation tweets, appreciation posts, which I thought was good and interesting. But, you know, just be better on the offensive line. Just be better.
Yeah. And how much of it do you think on the way out here, how much do you think of Robert Jones, others Robert Jones appreciation is from him playing with Teron Armstead to his left and actually being aided all this time, and he's being made to look better than what he actually is.
Yeah, no, I think that's I think that's okay. I mean, what I like about him is he's got his head on his swivel. You know, he blocks, he looks around, he uses his you know what he's got. He's long, he's athletic. You know, it's got to click, and it's going to have to click soon. But there's certainly something to work with. But you know, you play at Middle Tennessee State or wherever it is that he played. I think it was Middle Tennessee State, and there's a bit of a step up. But I think there are things to be done, and things that I think he makes the team. Absolutely, absolutely. I think he makes the team, and he should do, because you know his performances have been okay. And I think it's guys like the Jerome Christians and the Lester Cottons and those sorts of guys there. But look, if you go into the season and you've got Dan Feeney, you've got Connor Williams, you've got Rob Hunt, you've got Robert Jones and AN other in that mix, it's okay. And then you throw in an Isaiah Wynn. I don't think Oguro makes the team. You know, maybe they sign a Fleming, who knows? And then you're kind of like, okay, it's not, I just don't want to be in a situation where we have to go to Rich Stadium or whatever it's now called for a wild card playoff game. And we're starting Kendall Lamb, an offensive line of Kendall Lamb, Lester Cotton, Connor Williams, Jerome Christian, and Rob Hunt, because that's not fair for anybody.
Yeah, and do you have more confidence in Liam Eikenberg or AJ Austin Jackson?
Funnily enough, I thought Eikenberg would be a star in the NFL, and he's really struggled. And I always was down on Austin Jackson. I thought he was awful at USC and couldn't believe he was being talked about as a first rounder. I mean, I get the athletic profile, his age, and the fact that he missed a lot of the senior year or his last year because of his sister. But I actually think Jackson has a chance. I can't really put my finger on why, beyond the team's general confidence in him. But I think he has a chance, and it wouldn't surprise me if he ended up starting and being okay, actually.
And it's also the aesthetics of it. And I get to see it every year at camp on field level. When you watch these guys and you look at Austin Jackson, you're looking at a guy who's like 6'5", 320 pounds, and he's moving. Unfortunately, he's doing it with shells and in shorts. And you don't get to play in shells and in shorts. Maybe if you get to play in shells and shorts, maybe, he'd be a lot better. Yeah. But you watch him, and if you're a coach, especially you're not going to see him live until you play against another team in joint practices or in a preseason game. You're not going to see it. And even in a preseason game, you're not going to play your starting offensive line too much. You watch that and you're going to sell yourself. It's just one of those things. You're going to sell yourself on like, well, how the hell are we going to get rid of this guy? Look what he looks like, and look what he looks like moving, So, yeah. That's the thing I see with Austin Jackson. He's going to get the benefit of the doubt just on pure looks. Liam Eikenberg, I'm almost out on him. Although they keep pointing to those three games. Oh, he was great in those three games. Okay, that's great. We'll see going forward. But now it seems like Liam Eikenberg is the one with more competition right now, because they do like Robert Jones. By the way, the Bills play at Highmark Stadium. Do you have any idea what the hell Highmark is? Because I don't.
I don't. Is it some sort of gambling?
I have no idea. I really have no idea. When I say that I don't know, it means I don't know. I don't know what Highmark. In fact, we'll finish the show right there. We're going to look up what the hell Highmark is.
It's all one word, Highmark Stadium.
Yeah. It's a healthcare company.
Well, there you go.
All right. So, well, that's it. We didn't mention too much of Cedric Ogbuiye because
he's toilet.
If he's playing, we got bigger problems.
I'm surprised he got I'm surprised. I thought he, when he left the Jets, that would be his final contract, I've got to say. Yeah. I mean, he only started 25 games through his 4-year rookie contract. And then he's kicked around Jags, Seahawks, Ravens, Jets since 2019. And he was an absolute turnstile in Seattle and for the Jets, really. So,
yeah, Ogba had a monster game against them when Seattle came down here a couple of years ago. Yeah. Ogba had a monster game against him. So, yeah, I don't see how he's going to help you this year. All right, that's it. I think we have one more show until we take our well deserved
6 months.
Yes. We take our well-deserved vacation for the summer, and we have other people step in for us. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.